Oh, there's so much to talk about this week. Disneyland is unveiling California Adventure's Avengers Campus. And we've got all the fancy deets, plus Black Widow dropped its final trailer, and everyone is spilling the beans on Guardians 3 this week. Let's talk about it on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Good afternoon to you, our merry Marvelites. We are coming to you live from Hank Pym's Test Kitchen, which is just a fun series of words that I never thought I'd get to say.
Yeah, right?
Thank you all for joining us this week on Marvel Movie News. As I said, we're going to be breaking down the Disneyland news about Avengers Campus. We're going to be talking about that Black Widow trailer, and I misspoke in the cold open.
I was thinking, I'm like, wait, did I misread something?
No, there are Guardians are involved, but we're going to be talking about all the different Thor Love and Thunder stuff that people keep spoiling.
I got scared.
You're okay.
You got scared?
It's people that, arguably Disney can't fire, but, like, you guys are pushing some lines this week.
Yeah.
We'll break it all down, plus a bunch more. There's a lot of fun little stories this week. New Mutants stuff.
There was a new TV spot with a lot of cool stuff in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, who are we?
Oh.
That's a great question.
I'm Zach Wilson.
It's why we're all here.
The chat asks it a lot. I'm Zach Wilson. That's Zia Anderson.
That's me.
And that's Christian Black.
Hey, that's me.
Let's just dive right in. Let's start with the Black Widow trailer.
Let's do it.
And then we're going to get to stay tuned for all that Avengers Campus
all the other
deets.
Stuff.
But let's start with that Black Widow trailer, because a lot of people were talking about, there's a lot of cool stuff. What did you guys think of this trailer? It's the last one that we're going to get, in theory, before the movie comes out.
Yeah,
and we
they
will
say
talk
that
about
now.
Whether the movie is coming out in a minute. But for thoughts on the trailer.
I mean, it looks cool. It looks watching, and I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, there's some cool stuff in here. I feel like a broken record saying this, but this movie is just too damn late. My interest in it just keeps declining, where I'm like, cool.
I like that you're tapping the desk. It's like, how do you feel?
Yeah, but
are you talking about in terms of, like, it's obviously it's a few years later than it should have come out in mm-hmm. general, but do you think they were dropping trailers too early?
No. That's not my issue with it. I just think that the movie's coming out way later than, like, years later than it should have, to the point where I'm like, all right, that story is, like, done and wrapped up with.
It's unfortunate that it's set in exactly the time it should have come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right after Civil War is when this movie should have come out. And it would have been great, because it's like, oh, yeah, let's see what's going on the side.
But we already said goodbye to Black Widow. It was hard. It was a hard goodbye. I don't want to, like, what are we going back? And, like, the Taskmaster stuff, I think that, Christian, you actually said this in the beginning. The Taskmaster stuff does actually look really cool, though.
He definitely does.
Like,
Or he or she. You never know. The Taskmaster, the suit, actually, I think looks really cool. And when we first saw it was so vague, I was like, uh-oh, did they mess this up? And it was like, no, they just didn't want to show us.
First, the leaks looked really bad, and then the first trailer looked really bad.
Yeah.
But, like, I was willing to grant them, like, I don't know what kind of, like, post-work they're going to do to, like, tone it up or, like, what we haven't seen. And it looks so much cooler this time
around. And all the time, you know, people are saying, like, oh, we're worried about Taskmaster. You know, Feige had his feet up on his desk. I don't know if he smokes, but he was at least holding a cigar and just like, bah, well, just wait till you see this Taskmaster.
I mean, Taskmaster looks great. Like, Ryan, if you bring up those photos from this trailer, I'd love to look at a couple of them from this week, because and they should be in that folder.
While you're getting, let me just throw in a few comments from the chat. Gamer Girl, I didn't watch the trailer. I just didn't want to. Two trailers is enough for me for a movie. I get that.
That's fair.
That's totally, like, you know what? Fair. I've seen enough stuff. Maybe I don't want to get it ruined. Ghost 8386, Taskmaster is really loving his Disney Plus subscription. And Daniel Drew, I can't wait for the real villain reveal, which is definitely a theory that has been very prevalent, that this is Taskmaster, but then the Taskmaster mask comes off and it's actually some other character.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So, like, if we go to those, because let's break this all down, because those shots of Taskmaster looking at Iron Man 2,
yeah,
I thought were really cool. Keep going. keep going.
That's a truck.
I mean, that shot's really cool. Like, yeah, there's that, a great, like, great silhouette. I just kept pulling stills of Taskmaster because he looked really cool.
He does look cool
in this, but it's the ones that are called for you, Ryan. Taskmaster watches. I am too.
That was the one for those watching on YouTube. Obviously, that was the one that I was most excited about because it's just straight on close up, and I'm like, yeah, that's a badass mask. That's the kind of mask we'll all probably be wearing every time we go out in public in about a week. I think that mask would actually keep us safe.
Yep. Well, I love this mask because it does have that. It evokes the skull. You have the skull teeth in it, but it doesn't feel overly done. It's just got hints of that factor. Instead of, like, Taskmaster doesn't have to have a skull face, but this still gives us that feel, and I like it. I dig this design. But then, of course, the next one where I did, this just makes me laugh because it's literally like watching Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
But I love the connecting those two pieces of this world, connecting our first experience seeing Black Widow in action to her movie, I think is a great way to do it. And this is just a perfect way of, like, this is how Taskmaster is learning every move from every Avenger, including, we see in this trailer, fun Easter egg, Black Panther.
I don't even think I caught that.
Oh, Ryan, you know the one I'm going to talk about. But this one, you see him do, like, a straight-up Wakanda Forever Black Panther salute. If you look up, Ryan, if you look up there... it's like straight up, and then he does a kick and a backflip off of Red Guardian into that next photo and lands perfect Black Panther move. Like, it's 100% just like this is a Taskmaster that watched and learned all of Black Panther's moves and replicates them perfectly. Yeah, he probably got claws in the suit to replicate Black Panther.
Taskmaster is the most exciting thing about this trailer. Some of it's a little familiar. It seems a little redundant. And we were talking before we got started. All of the humor in this just made me angry. Scarlett Johansson is just not funny to me.
And I disagree.
The family around the dinner table, I was just like, I hate you all so much right now. I'm actually rooting for Taskmaster. I want him to hurt everyone at that table. I don't know. I was just like, there was 2 minutes? There was just too many jokes in it. And I think if there were one or two, I wouldn't have even noticed. I was just like getting pummeled by jokes when all I wanted was more Taskmaster. And to Zia's point, it is a little hard to get excited for this movie because of when we're getting it. But I'm sure that when I sit down to watch it, I'll be like, yes, this is very well made. We should have gotten it a few years ago. It was never going to go away. But at some point, you know, you just watch them in that order, and then you can convince yourself it came out when it was supposed to, and everybody wins.
And I mean, look, we've learned a little bit more about why the Black Widow movie got delayed so much. It was a lot of Kevin Feige having to fight to get any representation into his movies. And it took him years to get Black Panther made, took him years to get Captain Marvel made, and I think it may have been like... a thing of, like, once they had waited so long to do Black Widow, they jumped to Captain Marvel because they wanted to do an original and they needed to figure out where things were falling.
Yeah.
Look, it happens. Your rewatches will be much more fun.
Yeah, when two you things do from the Civil chat. War, a lot of people are blaming, like, Perlmutter, and then most of the chat hates me now. I'm officially heel Christian. I welcome it. That is that's just how I feel about this. In general, I think we're all usually on the same page. I just wanted to be honest. I didn't want to come in and pretend I loved a trailer that felt like nails on a chalkboard to me at the end.
Well, see, here's the thing, and I kind of get where you're coming from. I enjoyed those jokes. They land for me.
I'm glad. I wish they had for me.
I think they're cute. They're fun. I love family stuff playing like up against like crazy backdrop like nonsense. But I get where you're coming from because it's been something with this take on Natasha since Avengers, since Joss Whedon's Avengers, because if you look at the Black Widow that we got in Iron Man 2, it's sort of the most comic book faithful version that they've put on screen. She's very straight, like to the point, like not very humorous. Natasha Romanoff is not a jokey character in the comics.
And neither is Thor, but they made that work.
Exactly. And this
Taika Waititi made that work.
It's true.
Well, there's also just Chris Hemsworth sort of like forced it into that just because of his natural
inclination. It was like they all went to see that Ghostbusters movie that he was in, and they're like, oh, yeah, this guy's really funny. We have to do that with
him. Well, if you go back and watch the original, the first Thor,
he's still pretty funny.
It's in there. It's just like it's buried in a more serious script.
From the moment he like takes he finishes the beer and he just throws the glass against the wall, you're like, all right, this is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I'll have another.
What happened in the MCU was they took Natasha and she just like, by nature of Joss Whedon sort of taking that part and her being the female lead who he tends to want to give more humor to.
I agree with that.
She became more of a comic relief character. Not a comic relief because she's never that heavy with it, but she became a more jokey character, which differentiated herself from the comics, but by then it was established, and and that character already has an issue across the different, if you go track her across all the different Marvel movies, of like kind of yo-yoing between like other characters' interests or tones.
Yeah.
So you don't want to like be pulling her back into serious when she's become somewhat of a character who finds the dark humor in situations. So it is in line with the MCU version of the character.
Sure. Yeah.
But I get why it might be off-putting to some because it is so far away from the comic book version of the character.
It's humanizing for her, too, in a way. They sort of did that where she found her family in the Avengers, and she starts to joke around a little bit more. It doesn't not make sense, either. The arc that she took in the movies, it's not... I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. And not even necessarily comic book accurate. I think it just maybe has to do with some of the delivery of the jokes.
And they worked for me. They work in that very, like, flat delivery that I would expect from Natasha Romanoff. Yeah. Like, she's not like Chris Hemsworth's Thor eventually just became the I'm going to deliver comedy from a comedy guy's perspective. But
long before he got fat. Yeah, even before that they were just like, yeah, that's his thing.
The one thing that I will say, I kind of would like Marvel to bring us a female hero that doesn't need to find her way through humor because they kind of did a little bit too much of that with Captain Marvel for that character. And they've done that with a lot of, like, not every male hero lives in this comedy world, but all of their leading female characters bend that direction.
Do you think that's true, though? If you think about Tony Stark, a lot of comedy there. Really funny. If you think about Thor. Tony Stark and Iron Man.
But
you
not
think
about
Chris Evans starts off not being very funny.
No, but he becomes funny,
by
Endgame, too.
A little bit, he's pretty
but
funny.
Not, yeah. But not T'Challa.
That guy does not tell a joke.
No,
I definitely agree.
That's true.
But I would say, you've got Chris Evans, you've got Steve Rogers talking about America's ass.
Yeah, like,
you know, so by that point he's already become, you know, a comedic character.
But the thing is that it feels especially with these two characters who have become the leading women of the Marvel universe, they are the humor feels shoehorned into their characters.
I don't feel like that with Captain Marvel at all.
It wasn't as bad as, like, I'm making it sound worse than it was. Because, I enjoyed Captain Marvel. But she has a much darker humor in the books than she did in the movie. They lightened her character up in a way that, like, I think it would be stronger if they made her more of that military serious, but, like, with a dark twist of humor.
Yeah. I just didn't get any humor from her at all.
But see, it was there.
It was in the delivery. I understand what you're saying, Zia, and I do agree with Zach that there are jokes that she has, but it's a little bit of more like a head nod. It's almost like, you know, she's not actually jokey. She can be a little light in tone. Like a perfect example is in Endgame when she's like, hi there, Peter Parker. Do you have something for me? You know, so that's not even a joke, but that's not like being very serious in the moment.
Right.
So I think her tone is at times.
So tone-wise. Yeah,
that one lands for me because that's like a military joke of like, the world's about to end, but I'm going to hit you with it.
Right, no, exactly. But I'm just saying that's like, if you read that in the script, that's not a joke. The way she delivers it, she's tonally, she's not very serious for somebody that is capable of what Carol Danvers, the movie Carol Danvers, is capable of.
It's funny, the example that you picked actually is not one of the ones I would have gone to because I liked that one.
I don't even dislike the line. I just think it's her not being serious. Something I wanted to point out from the chat, because Senor Nerd pointed out, Rachel Weisz obviously had her Russian accent dub in that family table scene. It looked way off. I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch that either.
But
I
like that Senor Nerd watched it close enough, so I think anybody who's interested in that, why don't you go back and see. Did she have the Russian accent, or are you saying that she doesn't have one? I mean, I guess they gave her one.
I mean, saying that they, like,
they filmed it with one, and...
Or they just, they did a, they did some the post work. Like, they added it a second, what's the word I'm looking
for?
They dubbed her in, but, like, there's another word for it. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Possible, but that happens, like, here's the thing. One, it's a trailer, so you don't really know how, like, what's off where. Because a lot of times they'll shift audio just to help with the speed of a trailer. But also, like, that's actually pretty normal for films. Like, even good takes, they often have to go in and re-record audio or dialogue to just make it sound better.
And let me just put in one last one from Langley Neely. Can I get a female-led hero that's not a stakeless prequel, which you have to say both this and Captain Marvel are stakeless prequels.
Yeah.
That's a very valid point that I don't know that I've heard summarized so succinctly. So good for you, Langley.
It's a good point. I guess we'll have to
see the movie.
Miss Marvel and She-Hulk are the ones that are coming.
Yeah.
In that sense, like, because otherwise you've just got Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah.
Really.
We'll see.
That's really the only other one on the docket.
Yeah.
But speaking of Rachel Weisz, there is a little Easter egg in this in the background. Well, I don't know if that it'll come into play in the movie, or I think it's just like in the background because they showed it, like, it's out of focus in the background, but it looks like it's an Iron Maiden mask just chilling in the back of a frame.
Are they gonna play Run to the Hills? Trooper?
The character Iron Maiden, a Russian Iron Man type
character.
I don't know that they're gonna actually show it in the movie, but if she was like their attempt to make an Iron Man,
I'm glad you like.
I'm just
so
moving
much.
Past this because we don't have time.
There's always time for her to be stupid. But I didn't see it. So,
I saw it.
How did I miss it? So you both saw it, and I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? Yeah, it was in the back on the on the shelf when you walk in. It's when she opens the door.
Sorry, I must have been too busy gouging my ears out with knitting needles, like, after those jokes that didn't work.
You could pull it up like in this, but like it's very hard to
see. It's hard to see. I'll find it. That's on me for not noticing it. So it's there in the back,
like,
in that
you
photo.
See,
I mean, I see where it is, and okay.
I think that's it. I think that's all you're gonna get of Iron Maiden.
That it's just gonna be there.
Yeah,
You know, it'd be like, you want to see this one day? You know, it's like the moment in the original Iron Man where Terrence Howard sees the suit and he's like, oh, I'm gonna wear this next time. No, you're not.
You're not.
In retrospect, gonna wear that.
The saddest moment.
Yeah.
Next time.
for you.
I think it's because this is a nod to her past. I think it's just like an acknowledgement of that's where this character came from. That she was their attempt to replicate an Iron Man, and Red Guardian was their attempt to replicate a Captain America. And then they have like a bunch of Red Room people.
Yeah, that was cool.
So the Red Room is under Taskmaster's control, is what we're getting from this. And they mention in the trailer that they are fully conscious, but without choice.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the words. And so that's like where I'm starting to think, do you guys think, and I was studying this trailer looking at this, is Yelena Belova the Taskmaster?
I mean, I think it was Langley M. Neely saying in the chat even that looking at that frame, the Taskmaster has to be a woman, just size-wise. It doesn't, because even with it on there.
There's one frame where he or she appears to be taller than Natasha, but could also be the feet are cut off, so could also just be on something else.
On something? Yeah. Or a like, tall woman?
Or standing above. But, well, Florence Pugh and...
Are they the same height?
They're roughly the same height. Okay. So they're never, there's not a huge height disparity, but it doesn't... But, that, like, the character could have been, like, on a, like, step up if they're in, like, a room that has, like, a separate section. Like, it's hard to tell. But...
There, I mean, I do think that would be cool, and that is one of the ideas that has certainly been out there, and we've talked a little bit about it. I think that from a story point, I think that would be great. But also there's the idea that it's a completely different character masquerading as Taskmaster, and then we'll see. But I definitely like that idea the most as the one that seems logical.
I would bank on a misdirect where she is in the Taskmaster suit and revealed at one point, but then they are attacked by the real Taskmaster.
That seems very likely.
Who is somebody else who is controlling her via whatever they put into these women in the Red Room,
where
she's doing it, but without the choice.
Right.
That's my money. Yeah. And also because I think what we're going to learn is the real villain of this whole thing is Thunderbolt Ross. And the Taskmaster is under Thunderbolt Ross's thumb the whole time. What if it's Ross?
What if Ross is in there?
What if instead of being Red Hulk, they make him into the Taskmaster?
So weird.
That would be weird, but, you know.
Don't you want to see William Hurt just like flipping around, punching people in the face?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, but boy, that would take me out of it. I'd be like, what is happening? Absolutely not. No way.
All right. We could keep going. Do you guys have any other thoughts on the Black Widow trailer before we move on?
Nope.
Not at the moment.
Let's keep going and jump over to Thor, Love and Thunder. Crash.
What's your sound effect for love?
Oh.
That was a good one.
Right. Fair. That was actually good, yeah.
I put you on the spot, and that was exactly what I wanted.
So two people this week let slip big things about Thor, Love and Thunder. First, Tessa Thompson let slip in an interview because she's got a new show coming out, Westworld, season 3. So she's doing
such
the tour.
A good show.
And she was like, oh, yeah, it's great. We've got Christian Bale playing the villain. And everyone was like, say world? obviously, we had theorized on that before, but we had not gotten confirmation. So a little slip from Valkyrie.
Thank you,
and,
Tessa Thompson.
I'm willing to bet, even more so now, but note that I've been saying this since the beginning, Christian Bale is Dario Agger. And, like, I want to show you another frame of Dario Agger that I pulled as more evidence. This is Christian Bale's character.
You know what? I mean, I've been seeing people talking about this all over the internet. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And it would be so cool.
As soon as they cast him, I was like,
they're always building up, because Roxxon's the tie-in with him, right?
He runs Roxxon's energy concern because this is like an oil magnate guy.
So
evil corporate oil guy.
And by the way, this is one of those ones that if it's right, that's going to be awesome. You know, it's not like, that's who he's playing. No, that's going to be awesome. So that I don't know, whoever he plays, you're going to be like, oh, he's Christian Bale. This is pretty great. It's just all you have to figure out is you have to get really fat or really skinny for this role. You know, because he goes either way.
He can just be him
for once.
And then CGI.
Yeah, that's true.
That must
feel good.
Unless he's like, no, I got to be Jack. I'm a Minotaur.
And they're like, but you're going to be a businessman. He's like, no, I'm a Minotaur.
He starts running around the streets in horns. And he's like, somebody build me a maze. Dario Agger, for those who may not have heard us talk about him previously on the show, CEO of Roxxon. So he runs their energy. Actually, is he the CEO? Either way, he runs the Roxxon Oil, Roxxon Energy, and is a major villain for Jane Foster Thor in her initial run because he's destroying the planet and she's trying to protect the planet. So a perfect like corporate guy for Christian Bale to play and then turn into a Minotaur. Because he makes deals. I believe he made a deal with Malekith in the comics, but obviously they don't have to stick to that. They don't have to bring Christopher Eccleston back as Malekith to drive that story.
That'd be awesome, though. First of all, I'd love to see Christopher Eccleston come back.
He will never do that character again. He said he'd be willing to do another superhero character, potentially even a Marvel character.
That'd be awesome.
But not... I do not think he's coming back to Malekith. He wants to be a person.
Do you think that it will be a science thing? That it'll be, like, scientifically how he somehow got turned into a Minotaur?
No, it's still Thor, so I think you're gonna get hit with a mystical. That's but like good. The yeah. way that Thor uses mysticism and science combined in a lot of ways, so yeah. I think you're gonna.
I think another character magic. I would lean towards science, but because it's Thor, yeah, I think good. That there'll be some good. Mysticism. In
yeah.
There.
Yeah. The other big thing that got slipped is Vin Diesel was talking because he's got his movie Bloodshot coming out soon.
I want to see that.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
And he talked about he just like, oh yeah, and like the Guardians are gonna be in Thor.
Yeah, great.
That's so exciting.
Thanks.
That's what we all wanted.
That's what we wanted, so yeah. Thank you, Vin
It's what
Diesel.
We wanted. Absolutely. Because that movie's coming before Guardians, and because they've talked that he said that Thor is not gonna be in Guardians, James Gunn has sort of talked about that a little bit, or at least like kind of, without saying it definitively, he's sort of been like, it's not really in the plans.
Yeah.
Probably we're just gonna get a scene with like a couple of the Guardians, and that sort of sounds like what Vin Diesel was talking about. It's like not the whole team, but like a couple of them. You're gonna get like Rocket and maybe it's just Rocket and Groot like dropping him off because he was like catching a ride with them. I think you're just gonna have them like drop him off and then go off. So like I could see Star-Lord being there. I could see Rocket. I think has to be there because he and Thor got really close. And then, and if Rocket goes, Groot most likely there. Also, if Vin Diesel does, then you have to assume Groot's there. And Star-Lord. I don't think you need the rest along the way. You could. Don't have to. It's a lot of money to pay somebody.
Well, that's why I would think that Star-Lord won't be there. I think he's the most expensive cameo of the lot. So
he is,
maybe Mantis, because it's like, yeah, it's affordable.
He is, but the banter that they were having, the captain banter.
Between the two of them? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's what I want to see.
That is definitely what I want
to
see.
Yes. And I want to see Mantis, you know, trying to convince them to kill each other with a knife. Like, yes. I would like to see more of that.
I do want more of that. I agree.
It's pretty great.
But also, speaking like Vin Diesel talked a little bit more about stuff he should not be talking about.
Thank you, Vin Diesel!
Vin Diesel, you only say three words. They can replace you. I don't want them to.
No,
but you know, somebody else can say
they can double it up on the track, man. Like, they've
Groot.
Got more than enough yeah. I am Groots out of you. But he was talking about Groot looking at Guardians Volume 3, which it sounds like most of the cast has read the script and they really like it.
Of course they do.
He is describing awesome. This Groot, because we had regular Groot in the mm-hmm. first movie, then we had Baby Groot. And then we had Teen Groot. Adolescent
yeah,
Groot.
I love cranky adolescent Groot.
Yeah, but this one he is calling Alpha Groot. Which there's so many different ways you could take Alpha Groot. Like, I kind of feel like this.
Is he going to be Jacked Groot? What if he's a Jacked Groot?
That'd be pretty great.
So there's two ways you can take Alpha. Alpha could mean, like, Alpha as in, like, we're going back to the original Groot. Like, stage one Groot. Or Alpha as in, like, Alpha Male. Like, what if this is 22-year-old, like, reads too much on the internet Groot who's, like... Whoa,
like
what are you talking
bro
about?
Groot?
Bro Groot. I'm talking about bro. What if this is bro Groot?
I would like bro Groot.
It would actually be really fun. He starts talking smack.
I prefer Go-Gurt.
Go-Gurt.
to bro Groot. But yeah, Alpha Groot. What do you guys think?
Big acorn Scroot. Alpha male douche Groot. I don't know what we're going to get. I don't have a lot of ideas. I read an article, I think maybe you put it in the rundown, that same article you read, somebody theorizing that it'd be possible that we'd see other Groots, and he's like the leader Groot. Like, ooh, we see his family.
I would like to meet the Groot family.
Right? Like, and so, I mean, that idea would be interesting for sure, but how does that equate to also Alpha Groot? Like, I feel like that could be taken in any direction. It's like, you have no idea, but I'm excited to see what it is, because I love seeing every incarnation of
Groot.
What
if it's a reference
to... It's been so fun.
What if it's a reference to Alpha Flight, and he's the size of Sasquatch? Just a call back to... Was that last week?
I don't remember. That was last week.
Yeah, so it could be that.
Bernie Bro Groot.
Just because it's in the chat.
I'm sorry, that was really funny, though.
That was funny.
Okay, some real quick stuff, unless we're just going to blow through. There is another untitled Spider-Man spinoff in the works. Roberto Orci has been hired to write it. I have mixed feelings about that.
Maybe that somebody else should write it? Is that...
Well, Roberto Orci is already responsible for the Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie, which, while it has some good pieces, has some problems as well. He also, like, when he was Orci and Kurtzman, I was like, yeah, let's do it, because they wrote, like, the Star Trek reboot, they did some great stuff, yes. But Orci on his own hasn't done anything that, like, stands out to me. Doesn't mean he's not a great writer, because, look, by the time I see anything that these people write, 18 other people have written.
Yeah, it's a great point.
And he has been, again, he's responsible for some movies that I absolutely love when he was working as a team with Kurtzman. But I also am just sick of these untitled Spider-Man spin-offs.
I would like to get a title just once.
Yeah. Yeah,
just one of them. Like, be like, ah, look, it's Silver Sable or Black Fox or, you know, another animal.
Mind you, Amazing Spider-Man 2, the one that was closest to launching the Sinister Six project. So it could be that this is the Sinister Six movie, because he was getting it ready in that movie. Like, so much so that they were like, get the octopus legs in the shot, and then they did it. New Mutants,
yes, sir.
Some stuff with New Mutants. We got a new 30-second trailer. Had some really cool stuff. Some great looks at magic. I'm excited about this movie, and I didn't anticipate it.
Dude, I've been excited about this movie, and the more I see, the more excited I get.
Well. Zia knows this.
Look at that. I've
already got people hating me in the chat. My hot take is I'm so much more excited for New Mutants than I am for Black Widow, because every time I see more, I want more. And with Black Widow, I'm like, yeah, here's the thing. I have no doubt in my mind Black Widow's the better movie, but I'm more excited now because they're building the excitement in the right way. Giving us cool little glimpses like this of magic.
This looks awesome.
And then we've, you know, gotten our second look at the Demon Bear now. We have to go back to saying if this movie comes out, unfortunately. But just for a different reason, if it comes out, I can't wait to actually see it, because it's just, I don't know. Look, sometimes when you get these looks, you're like, oh, it's not what it's supposed to look like. But she looks so awesome.
So cool.
You know, and her eyes are glowing at one point, and she's got the soul sword. There's a shot of her fighting the demon bear. I mean, it's from really far away,
but it looks so cool.
Yeah, dude. Agreed.
And this, while we were looking at that shot of her in Limbo, another cool thing that is apparently coming in this movie. We saw it teased in another trailer where she was holding a toy, a little purple dragon toy.
Yep.
But according to Josh Boone, the director, Lockheed is in this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
we're going to get a dragon, a demon bear. Dude, this is all the Zia stuff.
This is everything you wanted.
Yes.
People kept saying that they could see Lockheed in that last trailer. I literally scanned through it
I did look for him after that, and I didn't see it. And look, I want to see Lockheed, so if you see him, tell me where
it
is.
Yeah, like, I thought people were like, it's in the monitors. I'm like, no, it's not. What are you talking about? But Josh Boone said Lockheed is in this movie. I would imagine, as opposed to being an alien... Like Lockheed is from space in the books.
I mean, he could be from Limbo.
Probably, probably from Limbo.
And he's also Kitty Pryde's pet dragon, but we'll just have to move past that because she's not in this movie.
We could get a Kitty Pryde later.
I think probably the plan was, Kitty's story is already like on it in that universe is like in a whole other direction.
Yeah.
So I think, but you still want Lockheed come and have friends. So no, Magic is a great option.
They just wanted to get, yeah, and it's not like Lockheed didn't hang out with Ileana. So I'm perfect. Yeah, if he's going to be friends with anyone other than Kitty, Ileana's the one who makes the most sense.
Yeah,
Zach's passing notes during class.
Do you want to share
The interesting thing is that as of right now, there are no press screenings scheduled for this. There could be a couple reasons for that.
Yes.
There could be the one that if you had heard a month ago that there were no press screenings, it could be like, uh-oh, they really don't like this movie and they don't want the bad word to get out. I do think it could also be that the movie comes out at the beginning of April, so press screenings would be in a couple more weeks, and nobody's planning. You know, I mean, here in California, we're not supposed to get together more than 250 people, and we're supposed to be 6 feet apart, which, by the way, Z and I are not.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, sorry. And I have two little Petri dishes that live in my house full of germs, so sorry in advance. But I think that, you know, it could be because of coronavirus, but it's easy to also be like, yeah, maybe coronavirus is a convenient excuse for a movie that maybe they don't want the press to look at.
Yeah, I mean, they're not using that as an excuse.
No, absolutely
right now.
Not. Absolutely not.
And to be honest, I think that those screenings would have already been planned and they would at least be pulling the plug.
Yeah.
I think this may be to me, it's more of a question of like, did they just not want to pay for press screenings or did they maybe they want to like bury this, or are they not happy with the movie?
And
I'm still so curious as to why they're releasing this.
Because like, it was shot and it was like almost done. They didn't even want to pay for reshoots.
Yeah. I know.
Like that's the thing. Everyone was like, oh my God, they're doing reshoots. They didn't do reshoots. Like they were planning on doing reshoots with Fox, but when Disney got a hold of it, they're like, we don't want to pay for having to bring all these actors back in on new schedules.
But and all these actors who are 2 years older than they were when we shot this.
But like if it's that bad, are they counting on the fact of being like, well, we're going to put this out, but we didn't make it.
I don't think it's a question. I don't think it's a question of it's bad. I think it's a question of what creatively did the studio want to do.
Yeah.
That was the big thing that we were hearing about New Mutants when it was with Fox, is that Fox just didn't, they weren't, it's not that they didn't think it was good, it was that they didn't like the direction that it had gone, and they wanted to bend it maybe a little bit, probably further away from the horror aspect, make it a little cleaner, who knows. But they wanted to change the direction, so they wanted to do some reshoots. But this is going to just stay faithful to the original script that they had, and that's what we're going to get.
Look, he's probably being a good company man and towing the line, but Josh Boone says he's very happy that they didn't do the reshoots because this is the movie that he wanted to make.
Oh, so, almost definitely the reshoots were going to take apart what he wanted it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're getting the closest.
They would have been Dark Phoenix style reshoots probably, you know, that changed what that movie was.
So. So the movie, as far as we know, it's about 2 weeks away. And as far as we can tell, is going to come out in theaters. We also don't know about Black Widow to that point.
Oh, wait, there's one more thing about New Mutants before we move on, though. Because there's that story that Josh Boone told Entertainment Weekly that there is a lesbian love story for two of the characters, Wolfsbane and Mirage. Wolfsbane's Maisie Williams, and I don't know the name of the actress who plays Danielle Moonstar, Mirage, sorry. But those two characters, they are very close and very good friends in the comics, which I don't know if that subtext was there, and I was just, you know, 9 years old and didn't get it, you know.
That's Blue Hunt as Mirage. That's the actress's name.
Blue Hunt.
I don't know who that is.
It's so funny because Blue Hunt sounds like it would be the superhero name.
Yeah.
So anyway, but they will have a romantic relationship in this film, and it's just sort of building on something. Yeah, so I think I think that's interesting, and so then this is also, I know it's not an MCU film, but it's going to come first. It's going to be the first Marvel characters in, like, a you know, main characters in a same-sex relationship. So take that, Eternals. And then we can go back to what we were going to talk about and some other news that's being brought to our attention.
Ryan, can you confirm that? Because I'm seeing something different, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Did Matt Key confirm that? Because I don't believe it if he didn't.
Ryan, do me a favor and just confirm that we're going to talk about something else.
But you wanted to bring up Black Widow.
But it's on topic because we're talking about the coronavirus. And, like, obviously
it's affecting a lot.
It's affecting a lot of things across the country, across the world. Mm-hmm. And a lot of movies, including Fast and Furious movie, just pushed their release date a year.
Which is a substantial amount.
I was surprised by the like they didn't just push it back.
This is Ryan in the booth. As of two minutes ago.
Great. Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about that in just a minute as we come. But so Black Widow is supposed to come out on May 1st, in a time where you're not supposed to gather in theaters, most of which are bigger than 250 people. So in the state of California, that could theoretically be a gathering that you're not supposed to have. We're not sure. Disney has not said yet. As of last week, they were still putting it out. But as of now, with like a lot more restrictions and everything, we don't know. They may decide to postpone it. We'll just have to stay tuned. However, as we transition into our big topic for the day, which is the Avengers Campus announcement, we're just hearing
this is crazy.
That Disneyland and California Adventure and all the parks are going to be shuttering with their gates in response to COVID-19.
Wow.
March 14th.
March 14th, according to Hollywood Reporter.
So they're open, they're closing as of Saturday?
The 14th.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and look, I mean, when the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, said that gatherings over 250 people, you immediately start to think of that. You know, you start to think of theme parks. And I mean, look, the Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Tokyo Disney parks have been closed for at least a month at this point, maybe even longer. So I think that, you know, I can't imagine the financial impact for not so much Disney, the company, but, you know, all the people who work there, you know, all the, you know,
what
all that means.
That's what sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a really big step in the direction for, yeah, look, a couple days ago, I bet Black Widow was definitely coming out. It might still be coming out right now as we're talking, but they definitely have to be looking at what's going to happen if we put it out in, you know, I don't know where they move it to in the calendar, you know.
Yeah, the other movies coming back, like pushing back, it's a tough call. I imagine it's tough on their part. I mean, also affected by this. Falcon and the Winter Soldier were shooting some stuff in Prague.
Which they absolutely can't be over there filming stuff now.
Yeah.
No, they came back. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They have officially postponed that. That was a few days ago that they made that
decision. The theory is that they will not return to Prague to film that. They're just going to film it somewhere else. They're back in Atlanta,
Maybe Mandalorian will let them use their crazy 360 stuff.
They should.
Those VFX rooms are insane. Real quick before we dive into the Avengers Campus news, Richard E. Grant was cast in Loki in an unknown role.
I love Richard E. Grant,
by
the way.
He's great.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Fantastic.
Just yes, off topic, but amazing movie called With Nell and I that he's in. I love Richard E. Grant. I can't wait to see more of him.
And everyone's theory is Immortus.
That's
what I've been seeing.
Fantastic role for Richard E. Grant.
Yeah, if he's Immortus and then Owen Wilson is Kang.
Oh my gosh.
I'd buy it.
So
anyway, jumping over to the Avengers Campus story. So originally this is supposed to open in July. I think it's a safe bet at this point that may get pushed.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect the Disney parks to be open in July, you know.
But yes, and for all we know, this may actually, like, it may help the construction because they don't have to worry about
people being there during the day. Yeah.
They can just be working
Kick
at, like,
up as much dust in the air as you want, fellas. It's all right. Let's go. Round the clock.
It may be the one thing that they're like, well, at least we can get an Avengers Campus now. And so there are so many things coming to this awesome piece of California adventure.
Yeah.
They continue to make that park crazy and good. So this is going to go in, if you're familiar with the parks, the A Bug's Land area, which is already gone while they're doing construction.
Yeah,
because who wants A Bug's Land?
Here
you go.
Yikes!
I'm just kidding.
That was fun.
It was more fun when it was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Land.
Oh, I don't
or
even
maybe
remember.
That's just what it was in Florida.
I think that's what it was in Florida. I do remember that. Yeah,
yeah, that was the best.
I've never been to Adventure Park, so I actually can't say anything.
So,
you've never been to California Adventure, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I've been to Disneyland, the one park, but never the California Adventure.
You're saying never been to a park?
That's what that look was. I was like,
that includes a public park, or she's never parked her because she doesn't park. She
doesn't
do any parks.
They've taken this area over,
It'll be right next to what is now Mission Breakout, the formerly known as Tower of Terror ride, the Guardians of the Galaxy themed building. And there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff crammed into this little section. If you've been to Anaheim, you know that Disneyland and California Adventure operate on a very small amount of land.
Right, but if you'd been there recently, you see these Stark Industry logos about being under construction, which has been pretty cool to see.
You're going to have Avengers HQ, which is a full-size version of the upstate New York campus that they have in the movies. Like, they're building the HQ building in Disneyland. So you'll be able to walk up to that. There's going to be a full-size Quinjet just parked on top, just that's chilling there. That's cool. You're going to have the big ride, and Ryan, if you bring this photo up now, is called Web Slingers, capital W-E-B, and it's a Spider-Man themed ride where you can thwip out. You put on, I believe, some kind of like VR headset or something that it combines with this. I think it's an AR technology technically, because you're not fully covering your eyes, you are seeing things, but it is projecting. You're going to be able to thwip webs out.
That's
at
so
stuff.
Awesome.
Like, there's something, a bunch of spider bots getting on the loose, and you have to go and work with Spider-Man to stop them. And you'll be able to buy spider bots. Remote-controlled spider bots.
Wow.
Are going to be the thing. So, like, now how you can go and build a droid in Galaxy's Edge on Batuu, you can go here and build your own spider bot. Which you can customize to look with, like, different skins of other Avengers. I know that I was like, is that a Wasp spider bot?
I didn't want to build a droid.
Just
but,
take my money.
I kind of want a spider bot. I didn't want to build a lightsaber either. But this,
I built a lightsaber. It was a religious experience.
Sure, of course.
Because they have crafted, it is expensive, but they've crafted that experience so well that it for a lifelong Star Wars fan, like, it was like, I just made my lightsaber.
I want one. I do. I would spend the money on it.
And that's why I trust Disney.
I would do
and
this
the Imagineering team.
Yeah.
Because,
this would be great.
All of it.
That's really cool. From me talking about Wasp and stuff, the big restaurant that they have there, we had talked about what it's going to be, but it's Pym's Test Kitchen.
I love that.
And it's an Ant-Man themed restaurant.
Look,
what world are we in, you guys?
It's so exciting. I'm not even joking. I almost cried when I went to Universal and went to where they have like Hogsmeade and they had the three broomsticks and like that. I walked in and I was like, you can actually get food here. Like, it's so exciting.
Hogsmeade's good. Diagon Alley was I went to the Florida.
I want to go so bad.
Diagon Alley like blew my mind of like, ugh. I felt like I'm in. And this is like, look, there's not really a land that you go to as much for Marvel. So
no.
It's just like, but theming everything is just,
that's
cool.
It's cool.
It's cool.
It's super
like,
cool.
So we had speculated, are they going to make like tiny food or big food? It's going to be
think both.
It's
yeah, absolutely.
So there's going to be like enormous pretzels and from what it sounds like the way that they serve them, you're gonna like see the like some fake visualization of them like bursting open like a small pretzel.
That's so freaking cool. Holy crap.
I want a tiny pizza the size of a quarter.
Scott Lang is in charge. Scott Lang is in charge of the bar.
Oh, I bet.
In Pym's Test Kitchen.
That's great.
So there's a bunch of alcohol that you can get.
Oh my god!
And you
can we go now.
So like some of it's alcohol,
no,
some of it's not.
It's closed.
Why?
You can get the soda from Incredible Hulk.
Oh, the one that unfortunately didn't Stan Lee in his cameo in that film.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. that's amazing. I love that.
And then there's stuff, I saw a picture of a slider, a chicken slider, but like the chicken was like spilling out the sides of the bread. That looked really cool. There's just like a lot of these little fun, like they're having fun with this
There's
stuff.
Excitement in the chat. We have a few different people who said that make the Danger Room next, and Senior Nerd adds in, why don't you throw in the Baxter Building too over the next couple years. All of that, I welcome. You know, if you got to take something else out of there, I don't know, you can figure something else.
I mean, the key is going to be, can you get the rights back from Universal in Florida? Because the thing is, like, they've crammed as much as they could onto the square footage that they have. I think while we're talking about food, the little detail that I was like, just chef's kiss, like, this beautiful. There's a shawarma cart.
Oh,
that's great.
There's going to be a shawarma cart.
That's great.
That will have like an impossible meat, I think, is what I was reading. There's also impossible meat in some of these things. So they are providing some vegan options for those of you.
Impossible that I'll ever
try. Now, the one that, the part of this that was the most surprising to me, and the part that I'm sure somewhere Matt Key is broken over this. is they are literally going, there's an area of this park called the Sanctum.
Sweet.
It looks cool, too.
They are going to have, like, and so this is not less of a ride as much as just, like, an area to go into where there'll be, like, there'll be Doctor Strange, there'll be different, like, things to bring. So, like, the story of this world is sort of built around this section where there's a broken piece of space and time. And it's emanating from this area, so there's like all kinds of visual and light things that are going on around that that I'm sure play with the very much the Doctor Strange motifs of spell casting. And that is how they're justifying the fact that they can bring in anyone from any era or age from the MCU. Because there is going to be a Black Widow, there is going to be a Cap, there is going to be an Iron Man. We don't know what the Iron Man's going to look like yet. It's a new, what number is LXXX?
L is 50 and then X is 10. So what number are you trying to read?
60?
I didn't see what number you had.
It's Mark 80.
Okay.
Mark 80, which makes sense. We're about 80 years into Marvel.
Yes, absolutely.
81, I believe, by the time this comes out. But it'll be Mark 80. We don't know what that looks like yet, but they are going to have Iron Man running around in this world. And like, so it's the way that they're talking about it is it's inspired by the movies, but not beholden to it, is what they said.
And they wanted it to be somewhere that people that are diehard fans could go and then just anyone else could enjoy too.
I just want to make sure to get this in from Gregory Castillo. Give me Thor's umbrella, because when he's Donald Blake, he walks around with an umbrella and he hits it and then it turns into the hammer. So I want the umbrella. Awesome. I absolutely want that umbrella.
That's the merch that I want.
And Disney, you see how excited we are. You know, when it opens, shouldn't we do the show from there? So come on. Let us sit there.
So last thing before we check out, Ryan, if you just want to throw up that photo of the cast that you're going to get, because there's going to be all kinds of characters running around this world. These are what they were showing off on the day. Black Widow, Black Panther, Thor, Captain America, Captain Marvel's in there. You've got Ant-Man, Wasp, Star-Lord, Gamora, Groot, Okoye, a bunch of some unnamed Dora Milaje are going to be there. And of course, Spider-Man and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
To go to their little parts of the world. I'm so freaking in. Like, there are very few characters I would wait in line to get a photo with. If I can get a photo with the Wasp, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'll stand in line for an hour.
I would wait for Spidey, but I actually don't.
Spidey
have,
good
I
too.
I don't have a picture with Spidey. I think I need one.
But the pure just insanity of like growing up, even like 10 years ago, reading Ant-Man and the Wasp stories, I never thought there would be a freaking theme park restaurant and character that you could go. That's insane.
Yep.
What world are we in? And while we try to figure out what insane timeline we've wandered into, we're going to have to wrap up for today's show. Thank you all so much for joining us here on Marvel Movie News. We will do our best to bring you the news over the next few weeks as we are capable of it. So stay tuned. We'll be here as much as we can. I'm Zach Wilson. Stay healthy out there, Marvelites. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. Zia?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @Zia_Land. It's @XIA_Land. Also check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/ZiaLand. No underscore. I play some games, eat some food. It's a fun time.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ChristianDMZ. And tonight over on AfterBuzz TV, it is the Star Trek Picard After Show, Episode 8. Only two more after this, and that is at 9 p.m. Pacific. Yes, I know, that's midnight Eastern, but you can watch it the next day if you want. That's fine.
All right, guys. This has been Marvel Movie News. Thanks for geeking out with us. Stay healthy.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.